strategic work get pushed on the back burner sometimes. But we're trying to do both.
Okay. That sounds really good. Well, look, I hope everybody enjoyed their Memorial Day weekend, kind of the start of the summer. So we got a few things to talk about today. I thought I'd like to start, as I always do, with kind of your agenda first and, kind of what's on your mind in terms of where we are, the materials that we've covered thus far, any, questions and concerns. Then we'll kind of get into, the normal part of our review. I think today we kind of start getting into the acquisition phase, and we want to spend a little more time with that, perhaps over the next couple of sessions, depending upon where we are. Okay. But let's start with what's on your mind. So talk to me. Tell me what's on your mind.
Share with them from yesterday.
Sure. So we both are feeling bad about ourselves a little bit on the execution.
Okay.
This is our second time through your shock program.
And we're right.
As you know, executing, we come in and we don't have our five folders.
Okay.
I guess in a sense, we don't have our five folders laid out for the day. We're not, we're executing, but not fully.
Okay.
Not all the way, not to the ideal.
Okay. So we're not perfect yet. And I say yes. Okay. So that's okay. Let's talk about that for a moment. You'll always be improving upon execution. The good thing is I think you really know what it is that you need to do, and I think you know how to do it. So why don't you give me, like, if you said, well, look, we don't have five folders on, but we've got two or we've got three. Tell me what your struggles are with execution. Is it just so different, so new? Tell me what your struggles are.
Well, let's see. One struggle might be philosophy.
Okay.
So, Rodney's a certain personality and I'm a certain personality. This is Russ speaking, I guess.
Right.
So, one of our thoughts after our last call with you where we went through the number of meetings with COIs and with mastermind people and community boards and whatnot, and it really, it seems like to be a productive team that we could lean the activities where Rodney does, a disproportionate share of the operational and the financial planning stuff, and I do a disproportionate share of the outreach, phone calls, meetings, COI stuff. Right, so do we have, can we make this work and be as effective if, for example, I run the mastermind and maybe he has one or two COIs, but maybe I have four, five, or six, just so that more of that kind of the time it takes and the energy it takes to run those parts of it, or are we just chopping ourselves off at the ankle to do that?
All right. So
that's a concept that we talk about. Why don't you explain your perspective on that, Rodney?
Yeah, Curtis, if you want to respond to that, that's fine, or I can kind of do a download as well.
Okay. Well, you said a lot. So let me try to explain and then, have you chime in afterwards, Rodney. So part of the team dynamic, which is all kind of part of this. So you know, the first part is, okay, I got to learn the fundamentals of supernova. And so that's one piece. The second piece is I got to learn how to operate as a team, leverage the team, given the resources that we have. Okay? So you've got two learning things going on here. So let's talk about, when you say this whole delegation of duties and responsibilities and who does what on the team, what we're really talking about is leverage. How can we get 1 plus 1 to kind of equal 3? So what you have to do is you have to divvy up some of the roles and responsibilities. Now, roles and responsibilities can shift on a team, okay? You know, I don't know if you started reading this book yet or not, but one of the things we talk about in the book is we do a compare and contrast with a trauma surgery team, okay? So the trauma surgery team, the head of trauma surgery, he's calling in maybe the orthopedist, he may get the radiologist, he may get the anesthesiologist on board, the nurse or nurses are also in the room, and everyone has a functional expertise, and they know exactly what to do and when to do it, okay? And on your team, you have to organize around these delegated duties and responsibilities and ultimately determine what you are good at, okay, from a team member point of view, and what you're not really the best at, so that you get the leverage. Now, if there's something that that team and the team dynamic that you really need to get done, and let's just say you're average at it, but it has to be done, then a member of the team has got to make a commitment to get better at that. And the two of you sit down and you're honest with yourselves, and you're not beating each other up. You're just saying, hey, there are a couple of things we've got to get better at. And, you know, Rodney may say, I'll take on this one. Russ may say, I'll take on that one. And then you make the effort to help leverage the team in that way. So we're now kind of getting into the team dynamic component, which isn't covered in the first part of Supernova as much. We covered delegation of duties and responsibilities, but now we're talking about how do we make the team work, okay? So don't beat yourself up on that yet, because we're going to spend some time really kind of covering that. So when you look at the 5-star model and you break down on the team, who's responsible? I'm going to just throw one out there. Who is responsible on the team? Who's accountable for implementation of financial plans? Okay.
That would be me for Rodney for the plans that we have together. Now, we still have our own silos, you know, of clients and plans and things like that. So, you know, we're a unique situation in that, but hopefully that answers your question.
Okay. So, all right. When things are still siloed, what this means is that Russ has his clients, you have yours, and the way I'd like you to think about that is that you have these clients that you are the primary relationship manager for, and Russ has these clients that he is the primary relationship for. Now, where things start to shift is, you know, Russ may not go through his client base and sit down and implement a financial plan. Because that really is maybe not his area of expertise, but it's yours. Now, does Russ feel the level of trust in letting you get involved in a client relationship for purposes of the plan? Now, he's got to believe in your competency to be able to do that. And so if there's an elephant in the room, you all have to talk about it.
Yeah, no, I want to kind of speed us up maybe. We are doing that, and
okay.
we've had good success.
Okay.
Russ has the higher number of clients and some good opportunities. And so he's been strategically, you know, looking at those and deciding, you know, does it make sense to do that? But, I mean, we've had, you know, the success is, the good news is, you know, I don't ever like to just focus on the challenges. The good news is, I mean, with some of those people, I mean, they've held assets at other firms and, we've brought in assets. Last week we got a $3,500 financial plan.
Okay.
So there's several other plans we've gotten and other assets that are coming in. We've gotten new clients. Both of us qualified for what's called the Platinum Advisor thing. So, you know.
Okay.
Our practice success.
Yeah, so that's just happening. We'll get to announce that to clients and
okay.
things like that. So there's a lot of positives, and we are doing that. So
okay.
We are looking at those opportunities, and we're involving each other in meetings and opportunities more and more.
Okay. Well, see, that is just flat out going to just take time, okay? And because remember, you're a team in its early stages also. As you begin to wrap your arms around Supernova. Well, that sounds pretty good. I mean, that, you know, so some good things are happening for you. So what is the, I think you wanted to chime in after I started talking about leverage, Rodney. So what is it that you wanted to, you know, kind of say, was that it or?
Well, if I'm looking from the outside, I used to do a little consulting, you know, for companies. And, you know, if I'm looking from the outside, I think you just hit on it. Our situation is a little unique from probably a lot of the people that you guys engage with because we're smaller. Our assistant is pulled in more directions. We only have one. She is not currently doing, you know, the role that, you know, would be ideal. So we're really at a stage. So I think realizing that we're at an early stage, that we are going to have to kind of make do until we get bigger and get more resources. So if I were looking, I would say, okay, you know, you've got potential. There's a lot of positives, but to implement this when your resources and time are limited, I would probably tell us to pick, you know, choose your priorities to implement the program well and assign those and then measure them. Don't try to do every single thing perfectly, but pick those, pick however many you think you can do well, assign responsibility, pick measurements, you know, set up our meetings so we're communicating and we're adjusting as we need to. And once we get more resources, we get to a certain level, then we can reevaluate change, and just, you know, on a monthly basis, you know, look, do we need to fine tune? And then once we've got those things implemented well, then go back and through the same process, just circle back around, look at what we need to do, what takes priority, assign those, and measure those until they're implemented well.
Okay, so it sounds like you got to figure it out. but I think what we're saying here is that this is an evolution, okay? It's an evolutionary process. You know, how you operate when you're doing a million will evolve as you get to 1.5 million to 2 million. It'll evolve some more as you grow to 3 million. Okay? So things will evolve, but your basic understanding of segmentation, of delegating duties, roles, and responsibilities is all going to still be the same. Okay. So Russ brought up, I don't know if I'm executing on everything. And what I kind of would respond to there is, you know, pick one, get it down, move on to the next one, get it down. But if you've got to be trying to do 6 things at the same time and you're not able to do any one well, that's probably not the way to go. Okay? So that's going to probably bring us to a discussion here pretty soon on the whole acquisition phase and the prospecting phase. Before we get into that, was there some other things that you wanted to talk to me about in terms of implementation and execution?
I have one, and that's scheduling it's been a real challenge. Just sending the emails notifying clients of upcoming meetings. He came in last week virtually in tears. You know, just took off some time and was behind and, you know, just was how, you know, it was a little frustrating to me talking about how difficult it is and it takes so much time. And so I want to run this idea by you rather than using the scheduling tool. And I'll talk through it first and then kind of tell you what I'm concerned about by doing this. To save our time, to make it more efficient, is to set up times in our calendar on Outlook, go ahead and send meeting notifications to the clients. Some of them use Outlook and some of them don't. You know, you can use your iPhone or whatever, but some people don't know how to do that. But anyway, that way they would already be set up in Outlook. We could use the automatic reminder like you showed us.
Mm-hmm.
But that way she wouldn't necessarily, I mean, that she would not be doing those reminder emails. They would just get an Outlook reminder of the meeting, so it's not quite the personalized touch.
Right.
But I'm trying to figure out how to make that whole process of scheduling the meetings, doing the reminders as easy as possible. The other part, I mean, conducting the meetings, I mean, I feel like that's going well. I'm doing the executive summaries. That's going well. Corinne's kind of got a, you know, should I copy her? She looks at the action items, does whatever she needs to do, and then puts the executive summary in their folder.
Okay.
Here it goes to the client as well. So I love all that. That seems to be going well, but that scheduling is kind of difficult. We're trying to figure out how to make that easier on her.
Okay. So let me just, so the scheduling component isn't necessarily on autopilot at this point. And, you know, I think when you look at Corinne's day, how many people is she working for?
Three.
She's working for three people. Okay. Which means that a third of her time is spent with somebody else, and two-thirds of her time is got to be spent handling the stuff that you do. The other problem is that other person who represents a third, he's probably not on Supernova. He's probably not, you know, organized in terms of calls. So things come up. He says, hey, Corinne, can you get me this? Hey, Corinne, can you get... So she's not batch processing out his day, right? Is that a safe assumption?
He's pretty efficient.
Yeah, he's one of the most organized people that we could probably point to.
I would say she's spending about maybe 25% of her time with him, not 33. Yeah.
Okay. So the email,
it may be helpful. I don't know. We could always, I don't know that we have time, but we could always get Corinne in so she can speak for herself.
Corinne spoke to me last week too, and she told me that I was 80% of the time, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
Okay. She told me that.
Okay. So, you know, obviously to kind of really answer the question, it gets into, well, how does she spend her day? You know, how is her time spent? Is her time spent on the priorities of the team? And then I think more specifically, it's these email reminders that you're saying that she doesn't have the time for. So we have to figure out how do clients get notified that they've got an upcoming meeting coming up or session with you all. And how do we get these email reminders on autopilot? So let's say that, you know, starting out, let's say you're doing three or four today, you're not quite up to five. And so I guess what I'm saying is if the template is kind of built on your upcoming meeting is on such and such a day, if the template is there and you have built what kind of an email list, it seems that should be a little more on autopilot. I'm going to have to think about that. See if there's a better way to kind of solve that. I just don't have something off the top of my head at the moment.
I mean, you know, she's got to remember 400 clients or maybe 300. I don't know what that number is. If I were to look at my week, I would know I would have my outline. You know, here's your reminder. And the only thing that would have to change probably would be the date and time. And then I would know who to send it to, you know, which email address to use. She doesn't know all that, so sometimes she has to look it up. It would take me, you know, 10 minutes to do a week, and it's taking her like an hour.
Really? Okay. Okay. So, what if you made a list of the clients, and it's in Excel, you can export to Excel, and it's got the name of the client, it's got their email address, and it's got the time of their meeting. Could you say that again? That broke up on me.
I was asking what your last inclusion on the spreadsheet was. Okay.
Yeah. And then what I would say, she gets a copy of that, and the way it should work is pretty much between the two of you, if you're scheduling 6 meetings a day, then that's the same sentence going out to 6 people a day, which are kind of batch processed in email.
Well, we try to do them a week ahead so people can have time to adjust or get back with us.
Right. So for example, on Monday she sends out 6 for that following Monday.
Right.
Tuesday she sends out 6 for that following Tuesday. You know, do you think she could manage 6 a day?
Well, yeah,
okay,
I mean,
so,
right now especially, I would think so, but it's going to be probably, how many clients do we have that are, it's probably 100 clients total that we have in Supernova.
Okay.
So that's not that many when you look at a month, but still it is more, and that's just the two of us.
Right. So what I'm saying, and then we haven't gotten into the prospects yet. Okay. So what I'm saying is that for now, she comes in on Monday, 6 have to go out for the clients that you're going to meet with on the following Monday.
Right.
Comes in on Tuesday, 6 got to go out. Wednesday, 6 got to go out. So I'm thinking that maybe that's 10 minutes worth of work if it's organized like that.
So, Curtis, you're saying what's wrong here is really Rodney and I are not organized enough in how we give it to Corinne for her to be able to see this as a non-time eater. And if we had our language nice and tight and we had the spreadsheet ready to go and it was literally just repeat, let's just say, 12 times
mm-hmm.
on the work day for the next week, that, I mean, she could do... you know, the other thing I was thinking is once everything's in the spreadsheet and she does it the first month or say the second month,
right,
every 3 months, then now her email learns those emails and tries to pre-fill that stuff for her when she puts it in, so it gets faster and leaner. But I think from my own ownership, me being more organized, just here's the block schedule, here's name, email, and where they are in the block, and then
mm-hmm.
more. Mm-hmm. For example, here are the 2 bullet points for the email. Stop.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So I think that's kind of the way to do it. I'm gonna explore this in a little more detail because you all you know, a sharing and a system. So I want to explore this a little bit. But I think if six go out a day, then she ought to be able to handle that piece.
Thank you,
Mr. That's the way that should probably handle. So you're doing, so that's where a little backup is, but we've got the executive summaries going very well. How have clients responded to that?
You know, we've had several people that are just so thankful. You know, they specifically said thank you for the detailed follow-up and things like that. I mean, I've got a guy I'm working on right now that is, he'll probably end up running Terminix, the company.
Okay.
So he's on his way to doing that. And yesterday, I've been doing these executive summaries for him for a while, but I've really emphasized, you know, the process that we have for executives and, you know, this is the kind of service. And he has, you know, he's been telling me about his friend who's a chief operating officer of a $12 billion company. And, you know, so, it just makes me feel good. I love that process. I love we're doing that for clients, and I'm feeling like they're seeing us differently.
Okay.
That's professional, and referable.
Right. Exactly. So, okay. So what I want to do, go ahead.
I was going to give my answer. I'm weaker at getting the synopsis done. Weaker.
Okay.
And I tend to be too verbose. So my clients offer a lot of good feedback, but I still struggle because the time block does not satisfy me doing that.
Okay.
So I still have that inefficiency.
Okay. So what I would suggest to you is that you create kind of a outline template. This is what we talked about. This is what we agreed to. These are the next steps. And maybe one other thing that you want to inject, but just kind of keep it to that level of simplicity. Had a great meeting today. We discussed the following. 1, 2, 3.
I appreciate the detail, but I've got to learn to avoid it. I've got to just more cursory.
Yeah, because the detail is in the work you do, okay? Don't use the email to kind of solve the problem. The email is a statement. We came together. We talked about items 1, 2, and 3. We agreed that this is what we need to do. And we are shifting, you know, we're reducing our exposure to equities by 10%, you know, whatever you agreed to do. And then you are talking about what we're going to do next steps, something that they need to do, something that you're going to do, and then look forward to our next call. So keep it very, very simplistic in that way. Alright. And share those things with each other. You know, a couple until you both kind of feel like you really got it down in a simplistic form. But the fact that you're getting them done and out the door speaks volumes. Okay? So create your little template, put it in Word, save the document, and pull it up, when you feel like you're getting stuck. And then pretty soon this is going to just be a little nostril for you. Okay? Alright. Okay, so good questions. I mean, you guys are rocking and rolling, I think. You know, this stuff is for a new team. You got clients now starting to, you know, like what you do. This is so important. The reason it's so important is when it comes time to working the acquisition component, you want them to be able to enthusiastically endorse you. Okay? You want to be able to differentiate what you do vis-a-vis your competitors that are out there. Okay. So, I'm going to try to get to week number 8 and 9, you know, fairly, just by way of review, to get into the client acquisition. So, you're doing these client agendas, and because you have agendas, you somewhat know what you want to discuss on the next call. Some of these agendas are designed to educate, okay? Now, do you all have an agenda for at least 12 months?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect.
The topic.
Yeah, topic. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I didn't know if you meant like, let's say our topic, I think, for June is mid-year review.
Okay.
So we don't have we don't have a template of what we've decided together to communicate on that, but we do have the topic designed.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I'm asking
for
at this point, that you have that. So you know, you've got this agenda and mid-year review. So now what you've got to do is you've got to have just what are the 4 or 5 points you want to cover in a mid-year review? Okay. You want to make reference to a plan. That's probably one item. You probably want to talk about performance. That's another item. You probably want to talk about plan implementation. So you figure out what the items are that you want to talk about in a mid-year review.
Right.
Maybe it's combining accounts for safety. Becomes part of that. Okay?
Yep. I mean, I don't know if that was something you put on your calendar, but I've got on my calendar, like, at the end of the month, towards the end of the month, to plan that those topics for the next month and also create the email for the reminder.
Right.
So, you know, and over the month, I try to compile, like, if I get a good report from a wholesaler or something like that, I set that aside and, you know, to use in those meetings.
Okay.
So for efficiency, we should not each do that. We should, you know, take a 15 minutes, decide what goes in there, and make that the same for both silos.
Mm-hmm.
So that just we're, you know, being more consistent in our communication.
Yeah.
Right.
We did it once
across all clients. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll do that.
Yeah, and a good way to do that, guys. Okay, we got mid-year reviews coming up. What are the core areas that we want to talk about during our mid-year reviews? Economic overview. Okay. Performance. Okay. Planning. Okay. Asset allocation. Okay. All right. So those are 1, 2, 3, 4. As an example, you don't have to follow my lead on this. It could be whatever you all feel is relevant.
But
have your core bullets.
When we do our bullets, they're supposed to feed a strategic objective of ours. Besides just saying, hey, performance, it's kind of like what you said. Combining accounts to save fees has the strategic objective of bringing in money.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. Okay. Now, also in this chapter or this module, we have this template for monthly client meetings, which is client provides any personal update, you know, I have an agenda, but before I get started, is there anything you want to discuss? Okay? So that happens on every call, every meeting. So are you all doing that?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. I've done it enough with you all, so you're starting to kind of to get it, and hopefully that overflow kind of goes to your relationships. Brief portfolio summary. Topic of the month. Now, keep in mind that on this topic of the month, I don't want your client to feel that you're bringing up the topic necessarily to sell them something, but to make them aware that you have capabilities in certain areas, okay? Because it may come up where they're talking with the other guy that's got the $12 million. Oh, you should talk to the Co-Ray team. They have a competency in this area, and you know I can enthusiastically endorse them. And this is how they differentiate themselves. You know, I get an email reminder on my meetings. I get a executive summary after every call. So what you are doing now is you are building this this credibility capability for clients to refer and enthusiastically endorse you. And then at the end, you're going to say, well, you know, what did you value today? Okay. You know, Joe, I'd like to just ask you a question. What do you feel were your key takeaways today during our call or our meeting? What is your value? Okay. And let them speak. Okay. Now, when you get into the 30 to 45 minute phone review, remember some of you're doing two in-person reviews and you're doing the other two reviews by phone. So it's the same thing, client personal update, got an agenda. Before I get started, is there anything else you want to discuss? Okay, portfolio review. Educational topic. Okay. And you've got your batch processing done, so now you're doing, you know, kind of a mid-year review. Today, Joe, I'd like to talk about, give you a little brief economic overview as we see things. Talk a little bit about performance. Talk about the status of the plan we have and, some of the open items. And then I want to look at the, based on the economic overview, talk about our current asset allocation. I'm not recommending any changes today, or I might be recommending some changes, whatever it is that you're going to do there. Okay. So there goes that review. And that's by phone. Okay, then you're going to have the in-person review. Same structure, client personal update, portfolio review, educational topic, and then you want to get an evaluation of the service. And you want to use your VIPSA technique to get introductions. Okay? We're gonna spend a little bit of time talking about that. About 10 minutes to cover that. Okay. So, the mastermind group. It might be difficult for the two of you to both establish a mastermind group. But perhaps one of you can get one of these things started. Okay? The centers of influence, they get a folder, right? So you need to make sure that you have educated the center of influence, that you are meeting with them, that they understand your business and what you're trying to accomplish. And what I would do in just a meeting between the two of you is I would write down who you think those people are and then ask, do we have a folder for these folks?
That's what I wrote. I just wrote that. We have not done the folders to COIs or masterminds.
Okay. So the first step is sheet of paper, write down however many that you think are centers of influence. If there's just four, then just write down the four. Okay? Just brainstorm. Okay? Write them down, and then a folder can be created for the four. If there's six, write down your six. Okay? Now, the mastermind group, first of all, let me avoid jumping back and forth. Do you all feel at this point in time that the combined team has five or six centers of influence? That maybe they haven't been cultivated, but that you kind of know who they are?
We do, and you know, we're developing that list as we speak, so we are a little bit on the scarcity thing where we're afraid we're not going to have enough bandwidth for all the people that are going to be interested in working with us. That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Yeah,
that's exactly how it's supposed to feel.
Okay. Well,
okay.
So we've got some that we don't know how influential they are. Like, we have an accountant that we're tempted to pull into our mastermind, but they acted like they didn't have the influence, and so our next step is to do the showcase at our office and see if we can promote more trust.
Okay.
You know, before we deem that accounting firm to be the mastermind candidate or not.
Okay.
You know, self-categorized on one of our first meetings, hey, you know, I just don't get the opportunity to tell people to go to financial advisors. It's the
right
off, which is fine. But we don't know. Can we teach them to be an influencer, or is that something that they're either equipped or they're not?
No, I think you have to teach them how you work. You have to teach them Supernova. You know, I want to talk to you about some things that I think can impact your business. I know you may not see yourselves in this way, but if you bear with me, I'd like to spend several sessions educating you on our framework for how we treat clients. Okay? And that's how it should work. And then our clients, we want to be able to enthusiastically endorse you. So here would be some of our expectations. And we would like you to be able to enthusiastically endorse us. These guys are not sales guys, because if they were, they'd be in a different business. Okay, so you're gonna have to educate them. Okay.
Awesome.
All right. So
we've got two shows coming up this month. One is with One of the accountants on a Thursday here, we're working on having them come to the office. They mentioned they may have an influential attorney or two that they'd like to work with. And so it's, we'll refine it, but it's possible they'll bring that person. And the next day, on a Friday, at our office, we have proposed our, that labor employment law attorney and our commercial insurance person that we've been working with, they're going to come in for at our place so we can sort of showcase the office and the staff and the capabilities. And so we are earnestly going after that.
Okay. So now you're starting to get yourself into the acquisition phase. That's perfect. So we talked about COIs. We talked about this mastermind group. And so that's really good. Here's the other thing in terms of how you spend your time. That was also discussed, previously. It had to do with, setting up your activities in terms of what's urgent and what's not urgent. Okay? The things that are obviously crises, pressing problems, deadline-driven projects, those are urgent. The things that are prevention, capability improvement, relationship building, recognizing new opportunities, planning and recreation tend to fall into the category of not urgent. Okay? But they're important. So you've got to fit those items in first. Then there's everything else. There's the interruptions, there's some mail, there's some reports, there's some meetings. They're not quite as important. And sometimes what you should do is just take all that stuff and stick it in a folder. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but oftentimes what I would do is I get so much stuff coming across my desk that I would stick it all in this folder. And then when I get home, the kids, the family, the dinner, then I would get into my easy chair in front of the television and I'd have a waste basket sitting next to me. I'd look at stuff, trash it. Look at it, trash it. To the point where my folder would become empty by the time I was done. So that's one way to do it. Or you could do it at the office. So think about that. Okay. So that's week 8. You finish scheduling your clients for the 12-4-2. Are you getting adept and comfortable explaining the service model at this point? What's your level of comfort on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest right now?
I'd say for me, I feel comfortable, very comfortable with it. The only thing is the scheduling. Once I get that scheduling part done, I think I'd be like a 8.5 or 9.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I routinely explain it myself, and I feel comfortable, but scoring yourself is like a personality test all in itself. So I'll just go Rocky same score.
Okay, all right. Team score, okay, that's cool. I got it. All right, so that's 12-4-2. We talked about COIs. We talked about this mastermind group. Any questions on those two categories at this point?
I kind of have a development of mastermind and sort of our splitting of team duties.
Okay.
I don't know, just best ways to think of it. So Rodney really wants to, you know, get our operations perfect and deliver perfect advice and make our plans, you know, beyond reproach. That's how he's smart.
Okay.
So I just want to get the stupid plans done. So I don't have to plan. so we have this thing that's evolving where Rodney lives far east, and I live far west, and our office is sort of in the middle. And we have these contacts that seem to be meaningful contacts with some influence, and we keep finding them. And a lot of them are at or near Rodney's area where his family is.
Okay.
So one of the questions, since we already have one mastermind in the middle, is how to best use those COIs that are in his backyard, but without having to create a mastermind where he has all the duties, you know, to run it, to follow up with them, to do countless meetings and try to teach those people into enthusiastically endorsing us. And so I really don't know myself what we should do. I'm inclined to say, hey, is there something that I can do to promote it and run it and encourage it? Where, in one sense, he just has to show up for whatever meetings we come up with and be the personality on premises. But, you know, I'm trying to ask you, how can I own more of that and free him of the gunk, his gunk?
Okay.
And I, again, I'm energized by that. I'm not energized by plans.
Right,
so I thought I'd throw that at you for feedback.
Okay, so one of the things that that I think you could try to do with the mastermind group is I want you to, you've all kind of been active with outside organizations or nonprofits or what have you. Treat the mastermind group in the same way, okay? And maybe you're just going to start with the one, okay, for now.
Mm-hmm.
And look, it depends on how aggressive you want to grow. So the one mastermind group, you start off with an agenda. What's our purpose? Our purpose is to create this mutual support society where we're working for the benefit of each other and our clients to basically grow our business and our practices. That's our purpose. Now, in that regard, what I want to be able to do is be able to enthusiastically endorse what you do in front of my clients. Now, let's go around the table and talk about each other's businesses and how we treat clients and why our clients should enthusiastically endorse each other. That's all we want to accomplish for today. So each session that you come in with, you're going to have this process of talking about, this is what we're trying to accomplish, this is what we're doing, this is one of the topics we have with our clients this month. You know, just kind of lay it out in conversation. You're going to talk about new business, you're going to talk about old business, you're going to talk about your needs. So you have the agenda for that. And let the leadership for the mastermind group rotate so that you're not always taking the responsibility for the group's agenda. So on our next meeting, Joe, you know, the attorney in the group, is going to lead the agenda and the discussion. Okay? And then after that, the following month, Mary is going to lead the agenda. So that you're quizzing, you're offering feedback, you're, again, the bottom line goal is to, you know, I ran across an interesting situation, and I was able to provide Mary with a referral. And Mary says, I've taken this to the level where I now need to refer Joe to this relationship. You know, so on and so forth. So that's kind of how it should work. Okay? How's that sound?
Good.
Okay. So that you don't find yourself, you know, doing all the work for the mastermind group. That's not how it's supposed to work. You know, there are going to be days where you can show up. You know, and it's over dinner, or it's over, you know, however, the lunch, whatever. But there are going to be months where you're showing up. You're not, you formed it, you put it together, but you are allowing the functional leadership to shift among group members. Okay.
That's funny. I just set up a new, it's really a Bible study group through Chad Hennings, the cowboy, ex-cowboy. He started this group, and I just started an offshoot, and that's exactly how we're doing it. I mean, I started to set it up, but we're rotating duties, and now, I mean, another guy's facilitating, so, I love that. Kind of networking growth, because two of those guys are coming to our volunteer activity.
Oh, right. Okay. So that's terrific. Okay. Now I think that's probably all the time that we should spend today. I want to really hit, just kind of remind you of this 90-day free look. Your 6 COIs, your 4-person mastermind group, your 2 nonprofits, and having 2 niche markets, and your social media network strategy. Okay? So we're going to kind of go through those again. But get your COIs, get your mastermind group, and I don't want to overwhelm you with the acquisition activities, because we can always come back and revisit some of those. But the ultimate test at the end of the day, you're going to be asking me, you know, did Curtis, did I help you all grow your practice? So this is where stuff gets really, really important. And so we want to go through that and this VIPS referral model on our next session. Okay. So what did you guys pick up today? What did we glean from our session today?
I picked up that we're very, very far along in what we need to be doing, much further than we might evaluate ourselves. And
right.
We really just need to just take that next step and really take the acquisition part to the forefront. So this all fits together.
Yeah. So are you starting to kind of see how it all kind of starts to tie in?
Yes.
Okay.
And One thing we're spending time on, and we talked about this early on, and I know you're not a big fan of this, but it's practice acquisition, and I completely understand, you know, that can just really cause a lot of problems if you take on a bunch of clients that are not in your model, and you're obligated to take them, and that kind of thing. But anyway, we've had some, maybe a couple of opportunities. One that would be a fairly small one,
okay.
Probably about 25 to 30 million, and the average client is probably about $1.5 million.
Okay.
So that one, we're definitely entertaining that, because that would basically give us enough assets where we could get our assistant full time.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, and you know, the reasons why I say that is because once you start getting these acquisition methodologies really going, and they will work. I mean, I know they work. I've seen them work. And so what happens is all of a sudden the level of prospects and client referrals start to go up. And what I wouldn't want to have happen is, you know, Corinne comes back in and says, I can't keep up, guys. There's too many relationships. We can't handle it. And so, you know, you have to keep segmenting, reestablishing your minimums, your maximums, you know, in terms of clients that you'll serve. So that'll be ongoing. So it's like you don't learn this once and then you do it once. It's like it's going to be your way of life.
Right.
So,
another positive thing is that we've been talking about a junior person who can take some of those and we can get them integrated. And we've got a lunch with today. So, you know, we are putting these pieces together. It may not be fast enough for us, but we are taking those steps to really implement the things you've taught us.
Okay. There's a chapter in the book called Hiring a New Team Member, Onboarding a New Team Member. Okay? Make sure that you read that chapter. It's it'll be really, really important because the one thing that can very, very easily happen is you bring on someone, and what I hear FAs tell me is, oh, he just wasn't the right fit. And then I go in and I say, well, what did you do to onboard them and mentor them and make sure that they were assimilating into this culture that you were creating? And then the response is, well, we really didn't provide them any training. We didn't have them make any presentations on any of our core competency, core products. We didn't really train them into Supernova. We just kind of brought them in and started giving them stuff to do. Okay. So onboarding a new person, and what you're going to find in this is you're going to start looking at, well, how was I onboarded into the business? Who mentored me? Who developed me? Who coached me? And you might find that that was a bit inadequate. And so you don't want the same thing to happen when you onboard this new team member. So that chapter becomes very, very important for you. And it's good that you're thinking along those lines. So very good.
Okay.
All right. Well, look, guys, appreciate it. I like the progress that you are making in terms of implementing all of this. And I look forward. Feel free to email me if any other questions come up, and I'll try to get back to you as soon as possible.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Not Terminix.
Oh, I was going to tell you I had an action item on Terminix because I've got other Terminix people, and we could make ourselves a little pod.
He's president of Australian Canada.
Have you done a grocery right model of their 401k or anything like that where we could try to replicate?
That's a good idea.
Make a matrix or something?
What would the result be?
Well, the matrix allows you to quarterly, when you do your reviews, say, hey, listen, we looked at total view and it looks like, you know, one of the funds that's been one of our just, you know, leaders has moved out of the top half. And that's really all it does. And it teaches you that you are keeping an element, and they can introduce you to stuff like that.
Wow.
You know, nothing more than attention to it.
Oh, wait. I mean, that seems like if we were to do that and they knew, I mean, they saw you're watching their world. If we picked 5 companies and were doing that for people we knew, wow.
That's what I was thinking. It's just saying
that's a great idea.
Did you see I had this idea? Not this building, but the next building in this highway. Remember how we talked about it in the car?
Oh, yeah.
Their front page news today, because Trump has decided that whatever they were doing with Facebook needed him to talk about it. And Facebook is severing their deal with Highway.
Oh, today.
And I thought, how hard would it be? We just need to meet one and then try to get introduced. We could build a pod 2 doors down with a giant company that's international. But I don't know.
That are getting fired?
I just thought there's going to be turmoil. There's going to be change.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with it other than walk in the lobby and see what that is. But there's a name on the building.
See if you could, yeah, I mean, even if leaving a card or
HR director if on site?
Yeah, exactly. Or looking on LinkedIn or something like that. But, yeah.
Really, I just thinking to talk to you about, hey, let's come up with something. How great would it be to have people thinking about us that are 2 doors away? And it's a huge representation.
I mean, literally, LinkedIn could go in and do a search and say, hey, we're really good at helping people navigate through job changes and turmoil to bring you more peace of mind or, you know, make sure you're, you know, maximizing your, you know, any change.
Just kind of communicate that we're paying attention to.
Yeah.
And then maybe HR, intro. Okay. Then being next door was too hard for me to pass up, at least thinking about it.
Yeah. I know you can search. Have you done much of that?
Not much. I've never had much luck, but remember, different than you've got, I've got Sales Navigator, which should be able to search far more eloquently than the regular, so we might want to do that on mine.
Yep.
Since I'm freaking paying for it, they're not reimbursing me. I haven't done anything about that.
All right.
See, I have freeze, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm saying maybe the search bar is supposed to be better.
Oh,
and you might have to Google it. It's in there. I printed it. It's on my desk. Let me just grab it. H-A-U-W-E-Y-W-E-I.
I mean, you're right. Might as well do it on yours. But I know, I mean, it can be done on anyone, I think. But you searched by that company, Dallas or Plano.
Mm-hmm.
You pull up everybody, and you could send a message. I don't know if that has to be done one at a time. But if there's 30 people, I mean, that's not bad. We're 2 doors down from you, you know, if you want to set up a quick meeting, we can come to your place or you can come over to ours.
We're a lot closer than Trump Tower for sure. I would say Trump Tower has more influence over your future today,
yeah.
But perhaps we can be part of it in the future.
All right, that was good. I know we revisited a lot of stuff, but it made me feel a little better.
We're doing Supernova a lot better than I think we are a lot of times. I think, if you'll notice, I think we went about 3 weeks that time, not 2.
You did.
Yeah, and I think you see you lose a little enthusiasm, and confidence without his interaction.
I think we're looking at the big picture, and I really think we need to set those priorities of bite-sized pieces, implement those well, and then do it again.
Yeah, that's just something the fact that you did it.
Yeah.
Go take on another one. Yeah, because that horizon seems impossible.
Right.
If I can see it there, but I just can't walk there.
Right. So I did not wear a tie today for Bill. I'm going to wear my sport coat. But
well, I didn't last week. And you did. Well, I did have trouble coming up with the right color to match this aqua green and purple.
That was really good.
So that, I was like, man, I don't know.
I think that works.
You know, by the way, yeah. It's just fun. All right, so we still have a lunch break. Where do we want to go, right?
Yeah, we didn't decide really, did we?
Oh, Indian.
We talked about the Indian.
And I'm talking about that. I was really just.
I wonder if we need to go to India. We may smell like curry. We can try that place if y'all want.
And what time is that?
11:30.
Does that give us enough tea?
Yeah, I think it's possible. Yeah.
Your time on hold without the host has expired. Please confirm the scheduled time as conference code, then try again. Thank you and goodbye.